everybody. This is Esther Gaines, and I'm here by myself one last time with a really special guest. If you guys haven't noticed, we've been doing this series called Aiding Archers. And the purpose of that is to really aid parents and guardians based upon Psalms 127, just to equip them to aim their arrows or their children well. And also based upon a passage here in, I believe it's Romans, you know how Esther is. I just do all my stuff real. But it's a scripture that talks about helping others in Hebrews 13 and 16 that is good to share with others. And that's why I chose the people that I did on this series, because I've seen their helping of others. I've seen and heard how they've done so well with others. And I've had either the opportunity to work with them. And so on tonight, I want to introduce you guys to Brian Bland. He is a local teacher here in North Carolina in our county. I had the opportunity to meet him and his family in ministry a few years ago. And I've heard really amazing things about him. I've seen how well he loves his wife and his kids and how he interacts with other people in a healthy, compassionate way. And so I was so excited to bring him on because he is also a male teacher and as well as an African-American Black teacher. So thank you, Brian, for joining us. How are you doing?
I am doing well. Thank you for having me.
No problem. I was, it was so wild because I was like, I want to do one more interview. And I was like, I really want a male teacher, but I don't want any male teachers. What male teachers do I know? And I promise you, God was like, Brian Glenn. No, I was like, oh.
Yeah, there are definitely not many male teachers and definitely not many African-American male teachers. So I'm glad I was on the list, the short list.
Yeah, I understand. So what do you teach and how long have you been teaching?
Okay, I've been teaching since 2002. So it's strange to have been teaching for this long. I am mentoring people who look like who were actually in the first grade when I started teaching, and it's just amazing that there were people who were babies during 9/11. But I teach high school science. And I teach mostly biological sciences. I love, biology and anatomy and electives and things like that. So forensics is a fun course I also teach. So basically everything except for chemistry and physics.
Is that by choice?
Yes. I took my last math class, statistics, way back in 2001, and I said goodbye. I'm like, okay, no more conversions, none of this. I can, but I won't. So, and plus, if someone wants the best quality education, I'll be there for your biological sciences, and I'll leave the physics and chemistry to some of my other more qualified colleagues.
You know yourself. That's what I heard.
So, yes, that was not my career choice from the beginning. Originally wanted to work with big cats and started off with zoology and slowly transferred into biology and ended up student teaching my senior year in college and just really enjoyed it. Prayed about education and 3 days later got a job interview and then got a job. So that was God working pretty quickly.
So did you stay in the same county? Like you're in North Carolina. Have you been here the whole time? Have you been in the same county?
I went to school in the mountains of North Carolina and got a job while walking across a parking lot where a professor called out to me and said, hey, to my roommate, and he asked my roommate to say, what's your friend's name again? Is the name Brian? And I was like, I don't really know who you are. You're a math professor. And he was like, so-and-so called back here and said they're job openings over in Raleigh, North Carolina. She works at this particular school and said, why don't you give a call and see if you can get an interview? So I've been in Wake County since 2002 at the same school up until last year, which I transferred just last year to a new school.
That is wild. I mean, that's God. That's crazy.
Yeah, absolutely.
Did you, okay, so with high school, did you get to experience student teaching elementary, middle, and high, and then get to choose? Or did you already have in mind, I'm going to teach high school because this is a subject I want to teach?
Since I love science so much and really as a zoology major, overloaded so many 20-hour, 21-hour semesters, I only had time to get an education minor, and that only qualifies you for high school or middle school. And middle school was just not, it was not going to be me. So it's a special type of person. It's like I call middle school your caterpillar stage. You're just a little caterpillar. By your time you get to high school, you've almost blossomed into a butterfly. And I just can't handle caterpillars. So,
so you're trying to say middle school is like the ugly phase?
I'm saying you said that. But I'll agree with your assessment.
Yes, it's funny because when the program that I went through, I was a North Carolina teaching fellow, and mm-hmm. you could at UNCG. And so we got the opportunity to kind of experience all three levels. I'd already said no to elementary because I worked in aftercare. And I was like, oh no. Middle school I wasn't sure about, and it was crazy. But it was like fun crazy to me. I don't know. High school, I mean, I looked like them. And it just felt really, the first day I taught middle school, one of the teachers, like when I had a real job and I was dressed up, one of the teachers was like, you need to hurry up and get to class.
Yes.
Because it happened to be career day and I was coming in as a full-time sub. And I was like, oh gosh, here we go.
Yes. I remember those days. Unfortunately, they don't happen as much as they used to, but yes.
That's okay. You haven't aged that much. So you obviously experienced the spring when everybody got the order to stay home, shut it down, schools at home, basically. And then now you're coming into this upcoming fall. If we just focus on the spring, what was your biggest challenge as an educator when the schools closed, and how did you maneuver that?
Probably the biggest challenge was knowing what to do. Hearing and communication probably was the biggest challenge because the state has to talk to the county, and we have to talk to the other governments in the district, and like, you know, do kids have materials? And you have to talk to, there were a lot of groups of people who had to collaborate very quickly to try to get something taken care of and try to get some sort of order amongst the chaos. And it was definitely chaos, everybody knows that. And try to organize all the chaos as quickly as possible. Getting information, checking email, phone, text, and just trying to figure out what's happening and what are the next steps. I'm sure it's hard for every teacher because every teacher is a planner. And if you tell me something on Sunday night, I need to do tomorrow. I mean, like, there's a lot of teachers who would just shut down the computer and stop and be like, I'm done. So communication was a tough for the spring.
Did you, I'm just thinking, it just hit me, like, not only were you home, but all your kids came home, right?
Yes. Yes.
And so were you, how did you handle, what you and your wife handle, like, okay, I have to teach, you have to do what you do. Oh, wait, we have to somehow get the kids figured out. How was that?
Well, let's break it down here. So I have a 7-year-old, a 5-year-old, a 2-year-old, and a 1-year-old. You know, they won't stay in one place. I took a deep breath realizing, okay, there's a global pandemic going on. I'm not going to get fired if I can only log in for 45 minutes rather than an hour, or if I'm a day late on the grading opportunity. So I just kind of put things in perspective, like I have got to get my children taken care of and basically time things out the best way I can. So there were a lot of early morning recording videos and things like that. And just basically trying to get our family on some sort of a schedule, some sort of routine. I'd say that's the second hardest part, because after cutting out out of school in mid-March, we probably hit like a stride mid-April.
So when did you, from the time that you guys closed, did you guys start immediately, or was there a lapse because of resources and communication?
Yeah, definitely a lag. Thankfully, I can take you back 1 year prior. I transferred schools, and in the transfer process, the new school I'm at required you to have Google Level 1 Educator certification. So as an educator, you would have to understand all of these specific Google apps you use for education. My other school did not require that. So since I'd had that certification, the transition from teaching face-to-face to online was almost seamless. I was able to transfer everything to online probably within about 4 days. So everything that way went well. And I was just kind of waiting to be like, we're going to keep doing this, right? Understanding that students didn't have devices, you know, some students didn't have Wi-Fi and hotspots and things like that. And also not knowing what can we do? Can we go outside? This is before we knew about masks and the mixed messages. So everyone is kind of scrambling and trying to understand again that communication piece.
That is amazing that certification was required. And I almost am thinking like, well, how come everybody doesn't do that?
Yeah, I'd want to do the exact same thing. Well, in education, again, there's so many resources. So there are so many people who have other mediums that they use, like, you know, Canvas and other places. But you need to know at least one of those things to be able to survive, to have survived the spring and to be able to survive this upcoming school year.
And that's what I want to hit on next. Having seen what the spring is like and seeing the truth about, or, you know, what's going on with the pandemic in terms of masks and what you can do, the parameters and all those things. What did your county decide to do in terms of school this year? Because I know everybody watching is coming from different states and different counties. So can you give us that picture?
Okay, so our state, North Carolina, gave us an option of, they call it Plan B or C. So their Plan A was to go back normally. Plan B was to have this kind of 3-week transition where a third of the students come for a week, another third, another week, another week, and just kind of rotate through the year. And Plan C was to go all virtual. So we are officially in a Plan B1, I guess it's, because we are not going. Yes. So I guess this is the fourth plan where everyone is going virtual until it's deemed safe for us to transition into the original Plan B. Where you split kids up into thirds and work from there, which also split up the population of students. Is some students can do what they call a virtual academy, which means they will be at home no matter what the entire semester. There's a little caveat there because some classes are not virtual academy classes in high school. So some students may have two of their four classes that can be virtual academy classes, but another couple classes that once school transitions back in, they may have to go into school. So it's a small population of students, but that is still a possibility. So there's a lot of fine print there.
Yeah, I didn't even think about that, because in essence then you would have to adjust your spring schedule depending on circumstances. Man, okay. Thanks for that, because I think that's something that parents need to be mindful of. Was I might be a little too late for that, but just to be mindful of was like, you know, what classes are you taking that you can take, I guess, this fall semester? And then let's looking at your track, what classes will you have to take spring semester? Okay, that's cool. How do you feel about the decision that was made or the plan that was chosen?
I think it's the smartest plan. I think that keeping kids out of school is not the best, obviously not the best for the economy, not the best for a lot of socialization, but as a scientist, as someone who, you know, I give assignments on pandemics and epidemics and things like that, just understanding the process, like, we as in the science community, we're hoping that this thing was over during the summer, if there was a high level of responsibility. But now that there's not, you know, we're moving into this is what we have to do now, because of kind of the decisions made by various people in society. So it's the best we have. Obviously I would love to be face to face with my students, but waiting until this is the best way to give as much consistency as possible, because we're not going to go into school and then have it shut down 2 weeks later because 100 kids have gotten COVID. So at least we know now that we're going to wait till things are safe, and as soon as we come out, we should be able to stay out and continue on through the year.
I agree. I definitely agree. That was kind of why we kind of made the decision as a family ourselves, is we saw a lot of stress in our kids, particularly one that was very disturbing when that break occurred. And then there was this, you know, YouTube and other virtual mediums, which I was like, I told my husband, I was like, babe, I am everybody's very anthem. It was just a lot to handle for 10 and under. Yeah. High school is different because they're taking personal responsibility for their education and their schedule. And so I definitely felt like, man, we go fully back to face-to-face and then we have to shut down again for our family. I felt like that was going to be a repeat of this stress from the spring. And I just could not imagine putting my kid through that. And every family is different. Every circumstance is different. And I, single parent homes, those who work night shift, like there's a lot. And that's kind of why I want to create this platform, is like we all, no matter where we come from, if you're an educator, if you're a homeschooler, if you're a virtual academy teacher, like you have something to say that can help anybody from anywhere, anyway. Yes. So again, thank you for coming on. So thinking about, you mentioned in the spring, the certification, and I'm assuming that was something that was so beneficial for you that really did work. Was there anything else that worked for you in terms of maybe something that you always sent or something that you always said with your students?
You know, I I do this in my class anyway. We have these kind of fun Fridays in my class where we, you know, take some time to look at something funny, to laugh about something, someone has a joke, something like that, because, you know, it's a good opportunity to just kind of lighten the mood, you know, take things down, and, you know, because kids don't understand their own stress. They don't understand when they are stressed. And laughter is one of those things that very easily takes away a lot of stress. So I kept up with that. But again, staying as consistent as possible, like trying to make things to where at least the kid could be like, well, Mr. Bland will be here and this will happen this day and that will happen that day. And also giving the students more choice, to where you would just give them a block of assignments and say, here are 10 assignments, pick two from here, two from here, one from here, see what you can do. Reminding the kids there was no timeline on a lot of assignments, because some kids would feel the stress of, I gotta get this done by Friday. It's like, well, no, you have until the end of the semester. It is going to pile up, but you, if you have those opportunities to work, go ahead and get these done this day. And obviously being available as much as I can to my students.
That word consistency, I think, has been said in every single podcast interview so far. And I think that just, it's similar to when you were talking about with your kids having a routine, having something expected, like, you know, the expected outcome of at this time or that this day. And so you just hit it on the nail. Hit the nail on the head again. I also like the idea of like the choices, giving mm-hmm. them choices and not stressing time. Cause I know when I was in high school and even with my sisters, I was like, oof, I am so glad. That was one of the biggest things, is like having to plan your time well just within a week. But if you have a semester and you get to choose, mm-hmm. you know, what's best for you, that kind of like differentiated thing. Mm-hmm. It's really good for everybody.
Yeah. Cause you notice that with this pandemic, your choices have already been taken from you. You can no longer go to school. You can no longer go to these places without a mask. You can't go to a restaurant anymore. Like, there are a lot of choices that were taken from all of us, in the matter of a week. And, just the opportunity to do one thing or two things that you want to do at a certain time, like, helps to alleviate some of the stress of not having other choices.
Oh my gosh, Brian. That's really good. Just to put it in that framework. And even me, like, I'm like planning homeschool and I'm like, oh, this is what I want to do. I already asked them like some of the things I want to learn. But in my head, I'm like, oh, this is kind of what I want our day to look like. And I'm like, well, Esther, could you kind of give them some time or some choice and be like, well, can we do this? That is so good, Brian.
Yeah, I struggle with that as a parent as well. I can see it in my son where I know that he loves and also needs choices. He knows when he's gone through a day and he hasn't had the choices of various things. They could be small things like, I want this snack or that snack, or I want to, you know, go this direction on the trail instead of that direction, like small things where I sometimes want to gear them in the direction I want them to go, and, you know, try to release them and have let them make choices and mistakes. It's kind of a hard step for me as a parent, but it's an area I'm growing in as well.
Yeah, I think we all are. Oof. So those things worked for you. You mentioned what did not work for you or what was hard was communication. And you mentioned devices, was like device distribution or non-distribution.
Yeah.
There's something else that was just difficult to overcome this past spring?
I've never had to parent and teach at the same time. that was difficult to log in and be live like we are now, but also be alone. My wife works 2.5 days a week. So she was in this room I'm in right now, the kind of the office, for very long days. And I was watching the kids for those 2.5 days, but those were Mondays and Tuesdays, and half a Wednesday. So I still had to work with the kids. And so there were times where I was in the middle of a lecture and someone hit someone and slapped someone. And they also had to get their work done. So I'm also having to say, okay, let's log in this way. You start your work here. And it was more like putting out fires. I think the hardest part is I have to sometimes stop being a teacher and start being a dad back and forth. So after I have got them through their lessons, like I have to reconnect with my children as their father. Instead of being like, get this done. Sometimes at lunchtime, I'm like, just pick that up. And I'm like, wait, I'm not, you know, sit up straight, you know, don't fold your napkin. Don't play, you know, I've got to cool it down. So.
Well, you said, pick that up. I already was myself and my voice. It is so hard. I can't. And even as you're talking, I felt this stress because all of your kids are 8 and under, right?
Yes.
And you said 1, and I'm like, oof. That's a lot. Because technically you only had 2 who were doing school, right?
Yes. My daughter was in preschool, so she was still just doing, you know, thankfully it was stuff that she could do, you know, letters, coloring, things like that. Some was in second grade. And I think that made it easier just to have 1 on the computer that needed to get work done. But, you know, extremely difficult because I could sit the kids in front of the TV while I'm working, but like, I will not do that. That's 3 hours of TV in the morning. It's just,
yeah. So, I mean, kudos to you guys. Oof, that's a lot. Cause I could feel the stress as you were talking with our 2-year-old daughter and the 3-year-old, I mean, 3, what? 5-year-old, they are like oil and water sometimes. So sometimes during work time, it would be like great, like they'll play, but then it is like the putting out fires while I'm trying to set up a Zoom and make sure you're on YouTube and there's nothing like crazy ads on the side.
Yes.
I totally get that. But you guys made it. You're here.
Yes. A couple of grays up there somewhere, but yes.
So as we kind of close out, I want to, in looking at the close of last year and then entering this year, what are some recommendations you have as an educator for parents or guardians or whoever is interacting with youth this upcoming year? Like 1 to 3 things that will help that student and you guys?
I think step 1 is always self-care. And my wife and I have been really working through this. It actually, the pandemic brought this all to a head that we don't spend some particular times in like getting good rest, disconnecting from technology, eating well. Like I give my kids snacks almost every 2 hours because, you know, they are not, you know, something. We eat a good healthy breakfast, but it's like you need you get a snack at 10 o'clock, you drink some water, you stay hydrated, we keep going. And like I am, you know, there's no way that I could be an effective teacher with 5 hours of sleep and just down in coffee. So like if I can take care of myself and I help my children know to take care of themselves, like when they sit down in front of that computer or have to get work done, they'll be at the best they can be. When we, as we're talking right now, you can like, I could feel the stress. Like when I think about the spring, there were times I could feel my heart kind of welling up like, oh my gosh, that was so much, that was so hard. And, you know, acknowledging that stress and doing something specific to take care of it, to like, as a matter of fact, just before this interview tonight, I spent some time in some mindfulness meditation and just trying to debrief from the day take some deep breaths. And those things have been good for me. I've been teaching to my children as well. And just try it. Like, it is going to be stressful. And I think we as a society, and I'd say even more so as an African-American, we have been trained to take things, like take on the world, take on the burdens, take on this and that, but we have not been taught to release things. So doing those opportunities to release that stress to, you know, I'm getting my exercise, I am doing my deep breathing, I am, you know, also teaching my kids that, you know, when they see this look on my face, to be like, my son looked at me and was like, do you need a deep breathe? And I'm like, yes, yes, I do. So that would be step one. Try to de-stress, try to take care of yourselves. And I would say you can organize your day as best as you can. And in that organization, like, not just have breaks, but have time to have fun. Like, it is, you have school, yes, but like, are the kids going to watch a show? Are the kids going to take a nap? Are the kids going to be able to play? Like, we have social distancing games with our neighbors where they stand on each side of the street and they throw water balloons at each other, or, you know, various things like that, where it's like you can still work out the social interaction. The kids can still have fun. And if only 9 of the 10 assignments are turned in that week, it will be fine. It will be fine.
You better preach, Brian.
Yeah, that's it's stressful for all of us. And, you know, I think that if we can endure, I know everyone's, you know, it's unfortunate we don't have an end because everyone's waiting, like, the vaccine will be here at this point. We don't really know that. Just know that, you know, if you need to take a break, even taking a day off, just being like, you know, this Wednesday, we're just going to close it down. You know, don't do any work. Just stop. You know, like, because it's not worth me pushing my children and having them freak out. I would never forget, I saw my son's face and I was talking to them and he completely shut down. I was talking to him and he was like, his face went completely still. And I was like, are you okay? And he took a book and threw it across the room. And I said, okay, it's time to stop. So, and I wasn't mad at him because I saw that there was something happening. I feel like maybe that's another point of advice where I'm like, you need to be able to see yourself and see your children. Because we all assume that we know our children, but like having that attunement to when you know they're off and engaging them after you know they're off, and letting them know that you're in the struggle with them. You're not just telling them to buck up and work through this. Letting them know that, like, look, this is hard for me too. Like, this is extremely difficult for me to do. Like, I've never gone through a pandemic, and I'm sorry you're going through it when you're only 10 years old. Mm-hmm. So, those things are probably essential to getting you through day by day, week by week, month by month, and hopefully we can all have a Merry Christmas.
You have hit on so much that has been communicated before, and then even in conversations Emeo and I have had, we started doing mindful meditation this summer after we saw another family do it, and just that We don't do it every day, but we do. That's how we start our day a few days a week, is DAPI T keys and scriptures, and just they'll position themselves, and we, you know, start off on our breathing, and I just start reading particular mm-hmm. scriptures, or just one that I'm always going to say over and over again, and then we pray at the end. I notice the difference in mm-hmm. them on those days that we do it, as well as when I make them. I can't make them. They always want to go outside. But when they do go outside and they get all like the joy and the freedom of what that gives them. It's so good. And I mean, there's days because when we go outside, baby girl wants to go outside, which means mom has to go outside. And there's days when I'm like, I do not feel like going outside because I have this on my list to do. But that kind of goes to something we're big on, like people over things. Like,
yes.
I can get those things done another day, another time, but this moment and these people, I can't get that back. Man, I feel like crying as you hit on so many like personal things that are just like, I'm still working on, I'm trying to get better at. Heard other parents vocalizing like, I'm trying, I'm not quite sure what or where or how. And what you said would be really good for the child, the parent, as well as a teacher. You mentioned real quick, noticing stuff in your kids. Have you had parents to communicate to you over the past few months, like, hey, my daughter's going through this, what can I do? Or do the kids themselves, have they told you?
I've had both students. And students say, I'm just not doing well. I just can't handle this. There was even a student who never really said anything during class, but started to send me some very vulgar and offensive texts. And I was like, what is going on with this kid? And it was hard to keep communicating with him. I just feel like he was having some sort of a breakdown, and he was lashing out. But over my 18 years of teaching, I have realized some of the things that my students go home to, and how the idea of being at home and trying to do school, is terrifying for some students. It's the idea of some people live with, what I call tiger parents. And, if you can imagine a tiger prowling around your house, where you don't know if you can lay down on this tiger to get warm or it's going to attack you. I've connected with a lot of parents, offered a lot of relaxation tools and mindfulness tools and organizational tools and things like that. And, thankfully, it seems like most of them have just walked through the stress of the moment. I've been able to connect with a lot of students, and I tried. That's basically my teaching philosophy, is to connect first, because no kid is really that excited about biology. I know that biology, I feel like, is cottage cheese. You either love it or you hate it. So, I try to connect my students. It's going to be a little bit difficult this fall because I've never started a course where we are completely online. So I'll try my best to connect with them that way. But, we'll see how this little experiment goes.
That's definitely something we will keep in mind, not just for you, but for all educators, is to be able to make that connection. Pray that you guys would, for those who are believers, be able to like tune in to like God and the Holy Spirit and be like, okay, give me some creative ideas, or what's really going on with this kid? How can I like connect with them and their family some way, somehow? Yeah, and that you just have also like your coworkers that you'll be able to, you know, problem solve well in this season. So, Brian, I I was not, I didn't know what to expect, honestly, from interviewing you, but I'm like, this is really, really good.
Thank you.
I really appreciate everything that you said. I'm like, when you're talking, I'm thinking of people who need to listen to you, several, and will value and apply what you've said. So thank you so much for what you've done. I will definitely also be praying for you and your wife to somehow get a date night in.
Yeah,
we're trying to figure that out too. Mm-hmm. So to you guys who are watching, thank you so much for taking the time to watch this interview. Please make sure you subscribe, hit that button below, as well as share. Copy the link, send it to your friends, your family, your coworkers who are educators, any and everybody, honestly, that could benefit from this. If you are on Facebook, you can follow us at Life with Gains. If you are on Instagram, I'm at life_with_Esther. Emmanuel is at life_with_Emmanuel. And the podcast is Life with Gains, or is at Life with Gains podcast. You can capture this episode here on YouTube, as well as capture the audio on all podcast platforms. So if they don't like to watch it, they have the option to listen to it while they grade papers or vacuum, whatever the case may be. So thank you guys. And that's the end of our series. Life with Gains will be taking a break for September. So we'll see you guys in October. Bye.